But over the weekend, even after a dreadful double murder and suicide of a family violence instance in Sydney, Melbourne over the weekend saw a man kill a woman and is charged with murder in Hampton Park, and another man kill his partner and then in Cranbourne North set a house on fire. It's a dreadful state of affairs that these terrible family violence instances and deaths are still continuing. Fiona McCormack is the CEO of Domestic Violence Victoria, and we've spoken to Fiona so often over the last few years. It's sad to have this conversation all over again. Fiona, good morning to you.
Hi, John.
A very sad situation. Two more family violence deaths of women this weekend in Melbourne off the back of a dreadful family violence murder-suicide in Sydney. Is there anything we can try, anything we can do that we haven't already tried to do?
I think the reality is that this is going to take time. This is an issue that has been, we're only really kind of just lifting up the carpet and having a look at this issue as a society. And so the work really, even though we've had a Royal Commission and we've had, you know, political commitment from the Victorian government about addressing this, the work has only just begun. And I think it's going to take time. And I think it's days like this that remind us of the need for, you know, a change. What we so often see at federal, state, territory levels is change of government, new approach to addressing this. What we really need is long-term effort, bipartisan, evidence-based effort. That's what political parties need to understand, because this isn't going away. And the reality is these murders just represent just what is a tip of the iceberg of the thousands and thousands and thousands of family violence incidents. 78,000 police attendances last year alone in Victoria. You know,
78,000?
Yeah, police attendances in Victoria.
That's yes. Staggering. That's over 1,000 a week.
Yeah, it's as Victoria Police says, this is the their number one crime issue, and that's the reality. It hasn't been treated as a crime in the past, so you know, and we're now turning attention to it. That so it's about the systems, but it's also about the attitudes, because we really, there are so many men, not all men obviously, but there are so many men who believe they have a right to behave like this towards women, and so many men who believe they have a right to revenge women when women end the relationships. And that's going to take cultural change, and that takes time as well.
We don't want to speculate about what has or hasn't happened in these two matters that will be the subject, of course, of coronial and other court proceedings, and we'll leave those different inquiries to run their course. In Sydney, in the murder-suicide case of two children and then their father, who's killed himself as well, the focus has been on people with a history of family violence, even in the past an apprehended violence order against them, being able to access firearms. Is that a central issue or a distraction?
It's not core, because we know that men will find a range of ways to murder both women and children. Gun control is absolutely critical in our society. I think it's something we need to be really mindful of, because we don't want to make it easier. But I think the last time we spoke, I was talking to you about the best evidence about the likelihood of perpetration is about attitudes, and it's that that we really need to tackle. That's the core issue. There are so many varying circumstances that can play out in different cases, and that can be a distraction. The core issue is that this tends to be gendered. You know, we don't see almost two men murdered by women per week in Australia. This is largely happening to women and men, women and children, and perpetrated by men. And we know that the best evidence is about those attitudes to women and to violence. That's, we have to start challenging attitudes of masculinity that are really unhealthy. It's not about men not being men. It's just about shedding discriminatory attitudes that can see some men behave this way.
The Royal Commission that made so much progress resulted in some formidable recommendations, almost all of which have been promised to be implemented. But even in the most optimistic view of the future, Fiona, even when everything that everyone's ever said they wanted to do, even when all that is done, won't there still be examples? Won't there still be instances? Won't there still be times when, no matter what people are doing, what programs are put in place, you're going to have this toxic masculinity playing out in public, playing out in families, playing out in so many different ways?
Yeah, that's why the investment into addressing violence against women can't just focus on the system that responds to violence when it already happens. The UN did some research about 5 years ago on jurisdictions across the world that were preventing violence from happening, violence against women from happening in the first place. And it identified that nowhere in the world was actually preventing violence. They were either the responses were either programmatic responses when violence already happened, or they were just awareness raising efforts. Really, it would be what's critical is that there is equal investment into both responses to violence when it already happens, but also to the work of preventing violence. And we've just begun that in Victoria, but the reality is it will take, you know, this is generational changing toxic masculinity. So it needs that long-term political commitment from any political party. This is not a niche issue. This is a core issue. And unless we approach it this way, we're just going to continue to have weekends like this.
Well, I hope we don't, and any reasonable and sensible person would only be wondering what else we can do, and whatever it is, let's get on and do it. Fiona, thank you yet again for being so available, so generous with your time. Fiona McCormack, CEO of Domestic Violence Victoria.